The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Dan Prof Show. Friend of the show, Don Boudreau, over at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, I thought made one of the more poignant observations of the week, very simply stating when he was on our program, prosperity does not come from smearing green ink on paper. Right. Axiomatic, but you wouldn't know it based on the policy discussion and based on what the Fed is doing to provide liquidity to the market, in addition to the fiscal disaster relief that was provided by Congress, with perhaps more in tow, perhaps also that some of that coming in the form of Trump's version of shovel-ready projects. We'll see. But the question is, how is the Fed managing what it has to manage in the face of unprecedented government action to shut down the United States economy? This is something that really requires a check on a daily basis, not just with the weekly unemployment numbers or the monthly weekly unemployment claims or the monthly unemployment numbers. For more on this, we're pleased to be joined again by Thomas Vartanian. He is the executive director and professor of law at Scalia Law School Program, at the Scalia Law School's program on financial regulation and technology, former bank regulator and private practitioner, who will have a book on financial crises in America out in early 2021, if we're all still around. We'll see. Tom Vartanian, thanks so much for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
Well, I'm sure you don't disagree with your friend Don Boudreau's observation about the source of prosperity, but you do argue in a most recent piece that you penned for TheHill.com that the Fed has done a pretty good job providing the liquidity the market needs, the economy needs to this juncture, but there are some, many pitfalls ahead.
Yeah, I think the problem we've got is we're in an unprecedented time when if you do too little, the economy collapses. And if you do too much, you've got an enormous overhang and hangover that you've got to worry about for a number of years. And if we just look back into what happened in 2008, we were still working through the hangover of the 2008 panic when this one occurred. And so this one is going to inject even more capital, even more cash into the economy. And I don't think anybody really knows what the impact of that is going to be. And my argument essentially is that the Fed should try to tether what it's doing to strategies that tell them and us how these things are going to be reversed at some time.
Yeah, you mentioned tethering to exit strategies. And I wonder if there's any indication you've gleaned from some of Jay Powell's pronouncements over the last couple of weeks about what the strategy is, what direction it's going in terms of any milestones that say it's time to exit, it's time to raise interest rates, it's time to shut down the municipal facility, municipal lending facility, and those sorts of things.
Yeah, well, I think Jay's doing a good job in responding to the problems, but I was sort of intrigued by his statement last week where he said the Fed has crossed a lot of red lines that have not been crossed before. And created situations in which we, quote, have to figure it out afterwards. And I think what we've learned in prior financial crisis in this country, in 2008 was the most, illustrative, is that figuring it out afterwards is not always that easy. I mean, we're sitting here with Fannie and Freddie, shockingly, still in federal conservatorship for 12 years. So it's not always easy to figure out how to reverse a lot of these levers.
One of the things that you suggested in a previous op-ed that we discussed last time, but it should be brought up again because there's been sort of some movement on it, a pandemic revitalization finance corp, somewhat similar to TARP from 2008 that people probably remember. Part of what this corporation you're suggesting be stood up could do would be to invest in the preferred stock of large and small companies for the purposes of maintaining unemployment and other social goods and economic ones. And we have had the Fed move into buying more corporate debt recently. Is that sort of a backdoor way of, do you think, of getting to the place you suggested?
Well, I don't think so, because at the end of the day, buying debt and injecting liquidity into the system will only last so long. And what I mean by that is eventually somebody's got to be paid actual dollars, and eventually forbearance wears out, and eventually your balance sheet starts to suffer as your shareholder equity begins to shrink from losses, because liquidity is not going to save you forever. And my thought was, if we're going to set up a reconstruction finance corporation vehicle, such as a revitalization finance corp, such like we did in 1932 in the Depression, it ought to be done only if it absolutely necessarily has to be done to save the economy. But if it is done, what it's got to do is it's got to pinpoint the companies that are in most extremis, where communities are in most extremis, and buy equity securities, logically preferred stock, as the government took in Fannie and Freddie, to support those companies so that they don't fail. Because the bottom line is a rush towards bankruptcy by thousands of companies that wouldn't otherwise not have gone into that situation is not the best way to restructure ourselves out of this predicament.
But it by buying up corporate debt, taking another step, is Jay Powell sort of on that road to what you're suggesting, or at least willing to contemplate that's where the road ends?
Yeah, I think that's right, Dan. I think buying corporate debt is along that road. It doesn't get to injecting equity into companies, but it certainly is another step along that road.
You also mentioned this corporation, were to be set up, should provide first dollar reinsurance to businesses around the country who are likely hearing from their insurance, the people who cover them, that that they're not going to be paid for business interruption under their policies. And so you want to do this to avoid litigation as well, as well as delay. That's one idea. How much of a business, a failure to get business interruption compensation do you think, how big is that problem? I guess what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I think we missed an opportunity here, because my sense as a former regulator is we always ought to try to use mechanisms that are already in place rather than reinventing something and creating a new bureaucracy. So my thought was most businesses have business interruption insurance. Most of them are getting declinations from their carriers saying it's not covered. A pandemic is not covered. So it seemed to me the easiest way to get the money out to these companies, as opposed to paycheck loans and all the rest of that, was to simply say, insurance companies, you pay those claims, and the Revitalization Finance Corporation, mm-hmm. or whoever it is that the Treasury sets up, will reinsure them and pay you. So that, in effect, you've already got a payment mechanism set up out there through the insurance companies. You just have to reinsure what they're paying out.
He is Professor Thomas Vartanian, the Executive Director and Professor of Law at Scalia Law School's Program on Financial Regulation and Technology. Look forward to a book that he will publish on financial crises in America in early 21. Professor Vartanian, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Take care. When a problem comes along, you must whip it before the cream sets out too long.
Listening to The Dan Proft Show on the Salem Radio Network.